Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Location of new high school on agenda. The possible location of a new high school is on the agenda for the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees meeting set for 6 p.m. today in the boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The meeting is a board workshop. The new high school is part of a proposed bond issue that is set for May 7th election. The total bond is $398,255,000 and is divided into two propositions. According to district information, Proposition A, $215,255,000, includes maintenance and lifecycle repairs, replacement for school district building, $130,255,000. Under this are various projects for electrical, mechanical, plumbing, fire and life safety, and others at schools and auxiliary buildings. Construction of a new career and technical education center, $70 million. This would include classroom and lab space for programs like welding, construction, health science, automation, and process technology, HVAC, plumbing, and others. Estimated at 150,000 square feet, it would include furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Classroom technology upgrades estimated at $15 million include a classroom and or campus audio, visual, and multimedia refresh or additions, the information said. Proposition B for $183 million would go to a new comprehensive high school that would be designed for 2,500 to 2,800 students. It would enclose an estimated 400,000 square feet and include furniture, fixtures, and equipment, the information said. The two comprehensive high schools currently have about 4,000 students each. District leaders anticipate the bond will create a tax rate increase of 15 cents and, for a home with a taxable value of $100,000, would equate to a tax increase of approximately $12 per month. There would be no tax increase on residents' homesteads for taxpayers 65 and older, as state law dictates that the tax rate and the amount paid on a residence are frozen when that person turns 65 years old, applies for the exemption, and is approved by the Ector County Appraisal District, the information said. ECISD gives local taxpayers a 20% homestead exemption, which is the maximum allowed by law. NTO grabs second in state decathlon. Out of about 40 teams statewide, George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa posted a second-place finish in the state academic decathlon championship in San Antonio. With its team of just six competitors, NTO narrowly missed winning this championship and qualifying for the national online finals, a news release said. They came in first in regionals. NTO competed in the small schools division of the 2022 Thomas E. Mosley Academic Decathlon State Championships. NTO students won 27 individual medals, including the overall individual winner for the honors category that went to senior Madison Houston. The team's second place finish and individual awards earned the student scholarship dollars. Combined, NTO's team received $10,400 in scholarships from the competition. New Tech Odessa entered the state contest having posted the highest regional score in the state. Academic decathlon is made up of 10 events covering 7 subjects: science, literature, art, music, social science, economics, and math, plus a super quiz. All are built around a central theme of study. Competitors take tests, write essays, and deliver speeches as part of the 10 events. The Super Quiz is a true team battle to answer questions in a game show style format. The students and their coaches spend months studying and preparing for these contests. Damian Gayton, who teaches geometry and college preparation math, is the team's coach, along with science facilitator Bernadette Berrigan. Gayton said there were 13 on the decathlon team, and 6 competed. He and Berrigan have been coaching decathlon for 5 years. Everyone that competed at state were returners, so that experience helped a lot. All but one of the students are seniors. There is one junior. Curriculum is issued by the subjects every year. It's probably 100 pages per subject, except the speech, interview, and essay, Gayton said. Those are a little bit different. Those are what they call the subjectives. The other ones they call the objectives, where they actually take physical exams. What we do is we try to tackle one at a time, and we assign pages. We do practice quizzes, and we kind of do methodically go through one of the subjects and cover as much as we can. We can never completely cover 100% of the material, but the kids themselves, it's really led by them. They do the heavy lifting. They read, they study. They're the ones taking the test in the competition. The students do 95% of the hard work. We just try to direct them the best that we can, and luckily we have a lot of leadership and they're passionate about it, so they work hard, Gayton said. They were very close to making nationals, coming within about 600 points, according to information from Ector County ISD. 18-year-old seniors Callie Avia and Shyla Ramirez were pleased with their showing at state. It was a lot better than any of us expected. We were talking the night before, and Ms. Berrigan, our other coach, she wondered what we thought we placed and how well we think we did, and our guesses were 5th place or 4th or like nothing close. But so getting the news that we actually made 2nd, and we were that close to winning. It was just so surreal for me personally, Avia said. Ramirez agreed. It was also really interesting because we got to meet a lot of different people from a lot of different schools. Because there were so many schools, I think there were like 300-something students there, so it was really interesting to be around that many people because the competition here, it's just the schools that were here, Ramirez said. But it was really nice to meet all those people and socialize with people who do the same thing you do, which is study and take tests. It was really, really rewarding to come in 2nd place because we have been working so hard and pushing ourselves for so many weeks, Ramirez said. Amy Galindo is an 18-year-old senior and Ezekiel Gutierrez is a 17-year-old junior. Galindo has been on the team for 2 years and Gutierrez for 3 years. I'm honestly really proud of our team. I feel like we've come far. Even just academically and just personally, I feel like we've all changed throughout this year, and it's been a pretty tough year. Pretty difficult, different from all the other ones. I like to see our team grow. I like to see them change and work on their problems. We can all figure that out as a team, Galindo said. Gutierrez said he thought the team's result was jaw-dropping, especially being from a smaller town and seeing so many other schools trying their best. Galindo said decathlon has shaped who she is academically. It made me actually like studying. I enjoy studying with other people. I enjoy wanting to learn more. So I feel like it's motivated me to be more of a scholar, Galindo said. Also, Permian High School and Odessa Collegiate Academy competed in the Frisco Invitational in Frisco. For both schools, this is the first time in their school's history that a team has advanced to a state-level competition, information from ECISD detailed. Permian High School, coached by Eric Garcia, finished 20th out of 35 medium and large schools with a score of 35,000.3. Theirs was a great performance, especially for their first time to ever qualify for a state-level meet. In this highly competitive division, they brought home 8 individual medals, One of those medals was a second place overall finish for James Keith, one of their varsity players. Odessa Collegiate Academy, coached by Michael Crowder, took a first-place finish in the small school division at Frisco with a team score of 31,576.8. They brought home 33 individual medals and $10,225 in scholarship money for their students. City to consider resolutions, purchases. The Odessa City Council will meet at 6 p.m. today, Tuesday, in the Council Chambers on the 5th floor of City Hall, 411 West 8th Street. Some of the items on the agenda are resolutions to consider a Texas Department of Transportation agreement for a temporary street closure, and consider authorizing the City of Odessa Police Department to accept Texas Law Enforcement Officer Standards education funds. The council also will consider a purchase award to Agilent Technologies for replacing an ICP for the City Lab at a cost of $81,100.81. This is a purchase of a replacement inductively coupled plasma optical emission spectrometer for metals analysis conducted at the City Lab. The current unit was purchased in 2010 and has served beyond the expected term of 10 years. The unit requires service often, and continued support is not guaranteed for this model beyond May of this year. Agilent has provided a quote of $81,100.81 for a new unit. Funding is provided within the fiscal year of 22 Laboratory Capital Outlay Machinery Budget Line. Agilent is the sole provider for this equipment, supplemental agenda material said. Consider a bid award for downtown parking lot landscape rehabilitation for $87,559. A public hearing is scheduled to consider approval of the request by Joshua Olive, owner, Newton Engineering Agent, for original zoning of retail R on 1.11-acre tract at the southeast of the intersection of Northeast Loop 338 and East 56th Street, the material said. Consider contracting the operations of the City of Odessa Aquatic Facilities. There will also be a separate Capital Improvement Advisory Committee meeting at 3 p.m. Wednesday in the third floor conference room at City Hall, 411 West 8th Street. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 37,188 total cases, 690 deaths. Midland County, 39,081 total cases, 494 deaths. Texas, 6,691,638 total cases, 86,654 deaths. U.S. cases, 79,571,321 total confirmed, and 969,114 deaths. Find out more at COVIDinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its COVID inpatient numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Monday. 5 COVID patients in-house, med-surg non-critical, 4 COVID patients, critical care, 1 COVID patient, 1 unvaccinated, 0 vaccinated, 0 unknown, 1 COVID patient on ventilator, 1 unvaccinated, 0 vaccinated, 0 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients, 51 years old to 88 years old. COVID patients from outside Ector County, 1 from Hobbs, New Mexico, 1 from Midland. results of the Permian Basin Science and Engineering Fair held February 19th at University of Texas, Permian Basin, Odessa. Project title, category, placement, division, students, teacher name, teacher email. How long will a drone last when weight is put on it? Engineering Mechanics 3rd Tide, Junior Division, Jake Benavides, St. Mary's Catholic School. Cheryl Brooks, Rub-a-dub-dub, Bath Bombs in the Tub, Chemistry 1st Junior Division, Connor Gonzalez, St. John's Episcopal School, Christina Villalobos. Paper Airplanes, Engineering Mechanics, 1st Junior Division, Addison Grisham, St. John's Episcopal School, Christina Villalobos. How polluted is tap water in West Texas homes? Earth and Environmental Sciences, 2nd Junior Division, Jared Jimenez, UTPB STEM Academy, Junior Division, Carrie Grammetbauer. Is a dog's favorite color affected by age? Animal Science, 1st Senior Division, Abigail Paredes, UTPB STEM Academy, Senior Division, Carrie Grettebauer. How much have we damaged the soil on the earth? Earth and Environmental Science, 1st Senior Division, Ethan Jimenez, UTPB STEM Academy, Senior Division, Carrie Grettebauer. Solar heat, updraft tower, with wind augmentation, Environmental Engineering, 1st Senior Division, Allison Barnes, UTPB STEM Academy, Senior Division, Carrie Grettebauer. Obituaries for Tuesday, March 22nd. Juan Torres Cardona, Odessa. Juan Torres Cardona, 75, of Odessa, passed away Wednesday, March 16th at Medical Center Hospital. A celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, March 24th at Odessa Funeral Home. Burial at Sunset Memorial Gardens, 6801 East Business 20, Odessa. And a reception following after at venue 2635 Faudre Road, Odessa. Friends may say their last goodbye from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday and 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Juanito was born March 9, 1947 in Loreto, Zacatecas, Mexico, to Salvador and Antonio Torres. On March 11, 1988, he married Maryville Ramos in El Paso. He is survived by his 7 sons and 2 daughters and 20 grandchildren. He's left behind 4 brothers and 2 sisters, several nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents, Salvador Torres in 2007, Antonia Cardona 2017, brothers Chuito and Ramos Torres, and sister Amelia Andrade. Betty Jo Munn, Denver City. Graveside services for Betty Jo Munn, 93.5, of Denver City, Texas, will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, March 25th, in the Denver City Memorial Park under the direction of Ratliff Funeral Home of Denver City. Betty Jo Munn, a longtime resident of Denver City, passed away on March 2nd in Victoria, Texas, after a short illness. Betty was 93 years of age. She is survived by her son Kevin, Michael Munn of Victoria, and her beloved granddaughter, Taylor Ashley Munn of Phoenix, along with her loving sisters, Barbara Lynn Ivy and Jerry Dean Miller of Lubbock. Betty was preceded in death by her son, Jeffrey Neil Munn, and husband, Sergeant J. Munn. Death Notice. Carter Anthony Rodriguez, Odessa. Carter Anthony Rodriguez, 20, of Odessa, died Friday, March 18th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 23rd at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, March 22nd, Education Report. MISD leaders hear about performance report. At Monday's Midland ISD school board meeting, a public forum took place regarding the Texas Academic Performance Report. The meeting took place at the Bowie Fine Arts Academy. The report shows information about the district regarding accountability and other ratings, performance in academic subjects, a report on violent or criminal incidents, student demographic and program info, teacher experience information, and financial information about the district. A summary report at a glance is that the accountability ratings were not rated because of a state of disaster, and the special education determination status needs assistance. MISD grads show mixed results in colleges. A performance report that was part of a public hearing at Monday's MISD school meeting showed district graduates are struggling at two-year public schools and having success at four-year public universities. Texas Academic Performance Report documented the performance of 2019 graduates during the 2020 school year. The report tracked 710 of 1,524 total graduates from Early College High School, Midland, Lee, and Coleman. The report showed 64% of 2019 Lee High School graduates at four-year public universities recorded a GPA of 3.0 or higher. The percentage for Early College High School and Midland High were 56 and 51%, respectively. The news for students attending two-year schools was nearly the opposite, according to the report. Nearly 50% of tracked Midland High graduates at two-year colleges was 50% recorded a GOP of less than 2.0. That percentage was 42% for Lee grads and 60% for Coleman High School grads. Of all 2019 MISD grads at two- or four-year public universities, 37% recorded GPAs less than 2.0. The report also showed that 36% recorded a 3.0 or better. The percentage of students between 2.0 and 3 was 23%. The report showed 1,524 total graduates from the four schools, so there were graduates who were not found or trackable. Midland College dual credit students win at contest. Students from Legacy High and Midland High, who are currently enrolled in Midland College dual credit automotive collision and repair, diesel technology, and energy technology courses, won in several categories at the 2022 Skills USA District Contest held in San Angelo. These MC dual credit students brought home 6 gold medals, 6 silver medals, and 4 bronze. In addition, 6 MC students placed in the top 10 of the Automotive Tool Identification Contest. Gold and silver winners, as well as the 6 students who placed in the Automotive Tools Contest, will now compete at the state level. "We are very proud of these students," said Eric Gutierrez, Midland College's Applied Associate Professor. "They worked incredibly hard perfecting skills and refining projects. Their efforts were rewarded at the regional contest, and we look forward to showcasing our students' tremendous talents and skills at the state competition."
COVID may be the cause of changes in saliva. "Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 82-year-old woman in good health. I tested positive for the COVID virus in December 2020 and was hospitalized, but did not need a ventilator. I needed oxygen for about 2 weeks after release. 4 or 5 weeks ago, I noted thicker saliva in my mouth. The liquid hardens in the morning, and I have to pry my lips from my teeth. No pain, it's just extremely aggravating. My dentist, family doctor, and an ear, nose, and throat doctor gave me no answers. Have you come across this strange malady? J.M. Answer: there have been many reports about changes in saliva during and immediately after COVID-19 infection. The virus attacks, among other places, the lining of the mouth. However, since it started more than a year after the infection, I think it's unlikely to be related to the active COVID infection. What is possible is that the virus has triggered an autoimmune attack on the saliva-producing cells in the three different salivary glands, a condition known as Sjögren's syndrome. There are reports of dramatically increased amounts of autoimmune disease, including Sjögren's syndrome. Of course, this is just a guess on my part. Sjögren's syndrome can be diagnosed only after a comprehensive evaluation, including blood tests that look for evidence of autoimmune disease. A rheumatologist is one expert who might provide additional insight. Dry eyes are extremely common in Sjögren's syndrome, so that would be a supporting historical finding which could be confirmed by an eye specialist.
This is the Dear Abby column. Bo shows no desire to grow relationship. Dear Abby, I have been dating Brent for 4 years. Prior to meeting him, I was divorced with 2 children. Brent shows little interest in my kids' lives. He doesn't want us to live together before the kids are out of the house, and he never plans to get married. My youngest is 10. Even if he would agree to move in now, I don't want to move to his city because my kids need to be close to their school, their friends, and their father. Brent doesn't want to relocate because it's heavily populated and he thinks my town is geared more toward a younger generation. I would really like to take our relationship to the next level. I have been trying to do it for 4 years, but he ignores my subtle hints. I can't imagine life without him. I have even considered getting pregnant to make this relationship go further, in spite of knowing he doesn't want a baby. Advice? Signed, Getting Desperate in the Heartland. Dear Getting Desperate, you have wasted 4 years of your life on the wrong man. Brent is centered on himself and would be a negative, disruptive influence in your children's lives. Your first responsibility must be to them. If they were miserable, you would be too. Trust me on that. As to the idea of trapping him by becoming pregnant in spite of the fact that he doesn't want to be a father, I don't recommend it. You could get a rude awakening and end up parenting a child you didn't really want all by yourself. So start imagining a life without him. It will be a happier one that way. Dear Abby, I have a coworker I enjoy talking to and being around. I'm 27 and she is 41. We used to sit together at lunch and during our break. All of a sudden, she stopped sitting with me during the first break, but still ate with me at lunch. Then she stopped eating with me at lunch. I asked her if I said or did anything wrong, and she said no. I asked her if she was avoiding me or had found something wrong, and she insisted there was nothing wrong and I worry too much. So now I sit alone, and she sits somewhere else by herself with her phone. I was nice to her. We talked about our day and sometimes shared snacks during the break. All that is gone now. I know people grow apart, but it stings. Being an adult means moving on, but when something happens for no apparent reason, there has to be an explanation. Can you share your insight on this dilemma? Signed, Lunching Alone. Dear Lunching Alone, there is always a reason. Perhaps you should believe your coworker when she says you didn't do or say anything wrong. What may have changed are her circumstances. You mentioned that rather than sit with you, she now sits alone with her cell phone. It's possible that something is going on with her family or her personal life that requires her attention. I know it stings, but you have to let it go. Find someone else to socialize with during breaks. It would be less painful if she explained it to you, but your coworker may be a private person. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.